Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, TD. We were discussing this earlier this week. Some interesting comments from Sean Murphy Bunting and Daniel Brunskill and among others about the Titans and their approach to the offseason and the work that those guys are putting in. We saw the Titans tweet out the video of, you know, Vrabel borderline being a psychopath on the sled out there. It was fun to watch that stuff too. What do you make of kind of the approach that we've seen from the Titans and, you know, pushing through, getting yourself prepared for the season here and, you know, the comments made by Alshaer and Murphy Bunting and Brunskill about maybe the different approach here in Tennessee to all that.
Yeah, and if you notice, Tannehill was in that video too, so that's a positive for them. And it's just one of those things where they're setting the tone early, and I think that's good. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of hard work. And like one of my coaches used to always say, hard work, big dividends. And that's what they're looking to cash in on. And I think when you look at Murphy Bunting and Alshaer, one of the things that stood out, you know, was how they hinted at that being different from what they've seen before. But then in addition to that, you know, Alshaer was like, I see why this team was able to play the way they did when he faced them back in 2021. And they were down to, you know, you had Dylan Raidens up there at left tackle. And then, you know, they were down to a practice squad guy on the other side. So, you know, it was a tough situation, but they were able to win. And I think, you know, Murphy Bunting said it best when he said, you come to work and you're hurting when you're done, but you feel good because you feel like you accomplished something and you did what you were supposed to do.
So TD, do you think this is business as usual here? Because obviously those guys coming from outside, so it's new to them. But do you think this is business as usual here? This is what they've done. Like you said, Alshaer kind of referred to that. Or do you think this is Vrabel pivoting a little bit, changing a little bit, maybe trying to think in terms of injury prevention, be harder early, and maybe that, like, you know, the callous is obviously a word he loves to use. I mean, how do you view that?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I think it's kind of a combination of the two. Maybe not the sleds, but they probably went hard, you know, during off-season workouts and things like that. I just feel, you know, it's not a coincidence that word callous is being used by multiple. You know, you had Vrabel obviously talk about that a locker room clean out back in January, and then, you know, you hear Alshaer use the word callous. You hear Daniel Brunskill use the word callous, and he even said like that he thinks that's more what is more fitting for the way that the organization is, the way that they play.
TD, you know, when the Titans made the move to bring in Charles London, we talked about it on the show. It was a really interesting move at the time, and now you've got Will Levis in there, which makes it even more interesting. And, you know, Charles London is going to be, along with others, charged with developing Will Levis as they move forward here. What do you know about Charles London to this point, and how do you put into words the importance of his role now with the Titans coming in as quarterback coach?
Yeah, when I was at the owners' meeting, I got to talk to Coach Art about him. And, you know, when I asked him about London, his eyes lit up and he smiled. And if you know Coach Art, if he likes you, that's what's going to happen. And I think when you look at Charles London, especially like watching the Senior Bowl practices, right, and hearing Lewis Riddick rant about him and then watching him, you know, work with the quarterbacks and then turn around the head and Hooker and say, hey, you know what we had right there, and bringing him along too, even though he wasn't going to play, is very detailed as far as how he approaches things. And I think he has a good way of relating to the quarterbacks. But then on top of that, you look at with Levis and with you know, this Titans team, even with Willis, you know, for however long he's here, that's going to be something that Charles London is going to be a big kind of engine for their development, right? And just making sure that everything comes along, because there's a lot of draft capital invested in those two. You know, you figure a second and third round pick, and I think he's going to be a big part of developing those players.
I didn't get to hear. Did you go off on Jared in person for his Treylon Burks is more dynamic than AJ Brown take? Please tell me you did.
You know, he wisely avoided it. I just kind of sat back. See, I don't get the grid anymore. You know, so every segment, you know, I'll know what we're talking about next from hearing him say coming up next, this and this. You know, he does a master job of teasing things. So no, I didn't get to talk about it, but I mean, for heaven's sake, I don't understand the. Yeah, I'm virtually speechless when it comes to that. I may be mistaken, but there weren't many players who accelerated through the football and ran away from defenders as well as A.J. Brown in the last few years. In fact, over the first 2 years, he averaged more than anyone else in yards per catch and yards after catch. So I'm not sure where this came from, and that's no slight on Treylon Burks. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, two players could be good and don't have to be mirror images of each other. I think really what needs to be done is let Treylon Burks be the best Treylon Burks. And if he could be the best Treylon Burks, I think he could be a guy that will make teams pay for one-on-one matchups. And I loved last year, you know, going through and talking to the different guys about whether or not they take that personally. And he had a scowl on his face when I asked him that, and he was like, absolutely, because that's them thinking that their guy could cover me. Now, I will say that's similar to AJ, but, I mean, the rest of it, let's let it be.
Well, TD, to that point, obviously, you know, Treylon Burks addressed the media earlier this week, and we know how important he has to be for the Titans this year just based on the rest of the room right now. But first off, I guess, what'd you take away from what Treylon Burks had to say earlier this week, and what do you make of where he is right now from an approach standpoint, from a mindset, heading into what's going to be a very important second season for him?
I love the self-actualization. That is the thing that I love. He understood, hey, look, last year, unacceptable, right? And he understood especially how he started the year was unacceptable. And he said, I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to have a repeat of that. So that's something I love. But even just I like the confidence that he had. You look at the video that they posted, you see him out there pushing Racy McMath, pushing Kyle Phillips, and then on the sled, you know, at the end of it, it was a relay, and he's the guy that finished it. You know what I mean? So that lets you know, hey, look, like, I'm the anchor of this. This is my thing. You know what I mean? And I like that. I think the confidence was there. And then even just understanding, you know, that he does have a major role within the offense and taking that extra time to work closely with Tim Kelly, who was apparently a mentor helping him understand the offense last year. So he was open. He revealed some things. He was confident. I think that's all a good thing.
TD, why do so many people, including a lot of people at your shop and people at my shop too, think that the Titans are going to be hot garbage next season?
Yeah, I think it's the seven-game losing streak that the year ended on, and it's Tannehill, man. Tannehill is nationally underrated. I firmly believe that to be the case. Now, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes or anything like that, but, I mean, if you go by quarterback, you'll probably find, you know, eight, nine guys, I would say. Tannehill's a solid quarterback, but he's not that guy that's going to throw for 300 yards every week. He's not that guy that's going to pass for 4,500 yards. So he doesn't draw that national attention. And then let's face the facts, man, the Titans, even when they're winning, like, to the modern-day football fan, they're not the most exciting team to watch. So you combine those, they typically become an afterthought. And even when they're winning as the number one seed in the AFC, they're still an afterthought. So with them having a seven-game losing streak, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yep, no question about it. Teron Davenport joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. TD, awesome stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You can weigh in on our text line or our phone line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's for Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. You can enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more. Just go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for just $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Thanks to TD for being with us in the last segment. The Treylon Burks part of this, beyond the he's more dynamic than A.J. Brown take that got thrown out there earlier this week. Yeah, I am interested to see exactly how much improvement have we seen. Like, I saw enough last year, Joe, where I feel good about him being a good player. Like, as long as he can stay on the field, I think he can be good. He can be a useful player. I still wonder, like, what exactly is his ceiling? Like, how good is Treylon Burks really? Is at the top of his game, is he going to be a bona fide number one wide receiver? Could he potentially one day be an elite wide receiver? I don't know. Is he a good number two when everything's said and done? Like, I'm not sure what exactly the ceiling looks like for Treylon Burks in this league. And I think this year, he's going to have the opportunity to at least start to figure that out, because he's really the only thing they got right now in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, which is, all kidding aside, and real quick, I really should have ranted at some point about the fact that Jared beat me in Jared versus Joe with the take that Treylon Burks is more dynamic than A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Somehow he still – but that was based on the Skoronski – Caroline and Jared are both at him, like he needs to play left tackle, you know, which is a totally different topic. But to me, you need to have the best offensive line you can have. We could debate that another day. I, in all seriousness, I don't know. The film room, you know, you can watch things over and over again. I thought Treylon Burks looked really promising in that win at Green Bay. Of course, that was his breakout night, and he had some other good moments. That was a great, you know, touchdown in Philly that he got hurt on. We've definitely seen talent. I think he has number one receiver talent. But there's, to me, that's 30. Now, my definition is you're a team's number one receiver. You know, 32 in theory of those guys. I don't see. Oh yeah, it's AJ talent. It's just a matter of staying healthy and figuring out, and boom, off he goes. I have not seen that personally. I'm also not going to sit here and say there's zero chance he could be a great player. I think he has a lot of talent, and I agree with TD. I think a lot of what he said Monday was encouraging. I understand at press conferences people can say the right things, and here's what you want to hear, and I'll say it. But I think it was more than that. I think there was some real self-awareness there from Burks, and it seemed like some understanding that it wasn't just that he had bad luck last year. His approach contributed to that. So the fact that he's been here the entire time, I think that's a really good sign. So I think we're going to find out. I mean, hopefully he doesn't get hurt. You know, some people are also fragile. We don't know about that for sure either. If he doesn't get hurt and he has that kind of approach, I think he's going to be good. But again, AJ Brown is an elite receiver in the NFL. It's very, very hard to find those guys. And many, many players go in the first round with talent, with college production, with college film, who don't become elite receivers in the NFL.
Right. And, you know, I've said this before. I think regardless of how good Treylon Burks is, whether he's great or not, the Titans still need somebody else on the outside to go along with him. Like, that's just what that's what today's game is. See, like, you need multiple receivers to go out there and be threats. And the Titans just don't have that right now. We'll see what Kyle Phillips can do in the slot and all that stuff. But right now, outside, it's Treylon Burks, and then everybody else is just kind of a guy at that point. So regardless of how good he is or isn't, the Titans still need to upgrade the outside position opposite Treylon Burks for sure. Whether that's at some point this year via trade, whether that's in the draft moving forward, I think we could all agree with that. But I do want, like, Treylon Burks, to me, if the Titans are going to have any hope to move the ball through the air in the passing game this year, we can talk about Chigakonkwo, and we can talk about Josh Wiley, and, you know, the tight end game is going to be important. But, like, aren't you going to have to target, like, Treylon Burks, like, 10 times a game this year. Like, it just feels like the way that things are constructed right now, they're going to have to throw him the ball a lot this year.
Yeah, I'd agree. And look, if he's what you hope, and if Chig is what you hope, and again, I'm going to stick with Kyle Phillips, I think is penciled in as a heavy snap slot guy, and he's what he looked like before he got hurt and stays healthy. Well, then at least you have, to me, you got three targets that you like, you know. But even with that, unless there's someone else on the outside at receiver, one, I wonder what that means in terms of attention. I mean, Kaharski asked Burks the other day, he's like, well, you're going to be doubled. You're going to be doubled all year, Traylon. What do you think about that, okay? Sorry, I almost did a Kaharski question without doing the voice.
You did.
I don't know that I agree with Kaharski on that. But actually, I think it's a good thing if it's true that he gets extra attention all year, that means he's making plays, and that's where you maybe draw someone a little bit away from the box with Derrick Henry, and someone on the other side can take advantage. The question is, do they have someone good enough to take advantage? Because Corey Davis, by the way, high pick, did not have that level of talent, as we found out pretty quickly, but still a guy good enough to really take advantage of what A.J. Brown did to the other side of the field when he was here.
Let me throw out a question to you. Let's say that's what Treylon Burks is. He's Corey Davis. Like, he's good, but he's not great. Like, are Titans fans okay with that? Like, let's say that he stays healthy this year, and it becomes pretty clear halfway through that, yeah, he's probably not an elite guy. He's not your prototypical number one wide receiver like an A.J. Brown, but he's Corey Davis. Now, Corey Davis was taken number 5 overall. It's a little bit different than where Treylon Burks was taken, but you're still talking about a relatively high first-round draft pick with Treylon Burks. Are you okay with that if you're a Titans fan?
No, and I will say this. I think we've seen enough from Burks just in terms of his natural ability to think he's more talented than Corey Davis.
I agree.
And I'm not down on Corey Davis, but I think Corey Davis just had some limitations. I mean, that was just a heck of a reach of a pick by John Robinson. Good, solid player. But I do think Treylon Burks has more upside, more talent than that. So, no, I mean, that's bad if that's how it turns out. He's got to be better than that. Jake in Green Bay says, I guess in Green Bay, or is it whatever GB would be? Oh, okay. Well, I was
Jake,
like, wow, we got Packers
live
fans
in Green Bay.
All over. Yeah, we'll put you in Green Bay.
We're very popular in Green Bay, Wisconsin, yes.
I mean, we should be. You're the biggest Packers homer, you know, this side of the Mississippi.
That is true.
He says he has a crazy ceiling. Green Bay game since the game, that play up the sideline against Dallas, catch it, Philly. Truly believe he's got top 12 wide receiver potential. Look, he's made some good plays. He's got talent. He's got ability. Top 12 is go list the receivers.
Yeah,
you know,
that's lofty.
I'm keeping an open mind on it. I am. I just, this idea that it's like, oh, he's A.J. Brown, just got to be healthy and play. Yeah, A.J. Brown, part two. What? I mean, Fred says, Jared said the other day, Burks is more bendy and technical, and A.J. is more like a catch and run through you kind of guy. I can see that, but A.J. is obviously better. My argument, Jared was like, A.J. will go get a ball in a crowd better, but Burks is more dynamic. Like, the dynamic to me, okay, again, the big difference that I believe when I look at them play is that A.J. Brown's feet are extremely quick. Yep. A.J. Brown is really quick off the line. He's hard to press. And of course, he like TD said, he runs away from people, runs through, but he also runs away from people and scores touchdowns. And I don't see the same. So that to me is dynamic. I don't think he's as dynamic as A.J. Brown. But, you know, another thing here is, the comparison's always going to be there because of what happened on draft night.
Yep.
And the comparison was there before the draft because there's some similarities, but they really are different players. And at some point, we got to acknowledge that too.
I can, now that you've brought up like the Green Bay part of this, I can picture like Lambeau Field sitting in the middle of the cornfield and Greenbrier up there. Greenbrier's very close to my heart. Lambeau would fit in nicely there.
I can see that.
Just going right through the neighborhood. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Treylon Burks and the Titans. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for weekend winners here on the program. Two of us did not do very well last week. One of us did. We'll get into that coming up next and take a look at the matchups this weekend. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is that time of the week. Time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of action this weekend coming up in the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and more. We got it all covered today here on the program. A quick standings update in the competition. And it was a good week for one of us. It was a poor week for two of us. I'll start. I went 4-2 last week with no lock. And that means, Joe Rexrode, followed up a 5-0 week with a 4-2 week last week.
Oh, no.
Your boy is 9-2 in his last 11 games. He's heating up at the right time.
No pun intended.
It's pretty good.
And he's referring to himself in second person right now. Michelle Knezovic, 1-5 last week with no lock.
I think that's my worst I've ever gone.
Joe Rexrode, also 1-5 with no lock last week, which means in the standings, Michelle Knezovic still in first place, 25-22 overall, 5-3 on her locks. The difference in the competition right now, good for 30 points. Robbie Stanley, 27-20 overall, but 2-6 on my locks, 29 points. So a 1-point difference between Michelle and I. Joe Rexrode, 19-28, 2-6 on his locks, good for 21 points in the competition. So there's your standings update as we enter into play today. Let's begin with
Gamble, kids.
Yes. Let's begin with game two tonight between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Celtics favored by 9 in this matchup. Michelle Knezovic, you were up first. Celtics by 9 tonight at home at TD Garden.
I think Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler thrive when they are this disrespected by this line, which they just beat Boston in Boston. It was an 8.5-point line, not a 9 line this time. I'm taking Miami plus the 9. I think the Celtics win, but it's going to be a closer game than that.
So going with the Celtics, or excuse me, the Heat plus the 9 in this matchup. I'm going to go opposite. I just think the Celtics are going to roll the Heat tonight. The Heat did their job. They stole one on the road. I don't think they're going to play as well tonight. I think offensively they'll be a little bit more challenged tonight by Boston. So I will take the Celtics minus the 9. Joe Rexrode, Heat and Celtics coming up in game two. Celtics favored by 9.
Well, I should really stop having thoughts of my own on things and just decide which of your coattails I'd like to ride. I probably should go with Robbie because he had a great week and Michelle had a bad week, but I'm going to go with Michelle. I think the Heat lose a close game but cover.
So going with the Heat plus the 9 tonight in Boston. Game 3 coming up between the Denver Nuggets and the L.A. Lakers. Denver has taken a 2-0 series lead. Michael Malone, their head coach, with some bold statements after the game as well, talking about the disrespect to the Denver Nuggets. Lakers favored by 5.5 coming up in Game 3, trailing 0-2 in the series. I am going to go with the Denver Nuggets, and I'm going to lock down on that one. I just think that they are better, and I don't know that they're going to outright win in Game 3, but I do feel pretty good about them covering the 5.5. So give me the Nuggets plus the 5.5. Joe Rexrode, Lakers favored by 5.5 coming up in Game 3.
So I'm just going to keep going against you despite evidence that I shouldn't, but I think the Lakers will put it away a little bit late and cover.
So going with the Lakers minus 5.5. Michelle Knezovic, the Lakers favored by 5.5 coming up in Game 3.
Well, I'm going with Robbie on this one. I love the Nuggets plus the 5.5. I think we saw last night LeBron getting tired towards the end. It's a quick turnaround again. Played a lot of basketball up until this point. So give me the Nuggets plus the 5.5.
We move to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game 1 coming up tonight between the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll just go straight up puck line with this one. So, Joe, who do you have winning Game 1 between Dallas and Vegas tonight?
Yeah, I think Dallas really had to spill it, obviously to get here. So I think I'm going to go. I feel pretty good about the Golden Knights in Game 1.
So going with Vegas in Game 1. Michelle Knezovic, Dallas and Vegas tonight in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking Vegas on the puck line. They're at home. Their fans are crazy. That arena is going to be packed. So give me Vegas on the puck line.
I'm going with Dallas. I'm going with the Dallas Stars. I think that Dallas, the way they play defensively and with Jake Oettinger in net, I think they have the formula to slow down Eichel and Stone in Vegas. And I don't think that Vegas is going to get as many attempts on the rush and on the counterattack as they got in that Edmonton series. So I will go with Dallas in game one tonight on the road against Vegas, which means Joe Rexroth and I are complete opposites on every pick to this point. We'll see how this goes.
You should feel pretty good about that.
We move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezovic, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm sticking in the NHL. The Panthers at the Canes again. This will be the Saturday game. The game went into quadruple overtime, almost five overtimes last night. The under-over is 5.5. I'm going to take the under on this one. I think it'll be a low-scoring game, and hopefully everybody has legs underneath them on Saturday. So give me the under 5.5.
That's really interesting. It's the over-under in games like that when it could go a couple of different ways. Nobody could have any energy whatsoever, and it's 1-0. Or the goalies could just be trash, and it's like 8-6. So I'm really interested to see what happens in that one. But going with the under 5.5 for the Canes and Panthers in game two. Joe Rexroth, your first individual selection.
It's also interesting that Michelle just called it the under over. That threw me for a loop. So you didn't you didn't mean to take the over, right?
No, I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
It's like we're in the upside down.
Yeah, I've been in a fog all
Stranger
week.
Stranger Things?
Nope, I haven't seen it.
It's all right. Hey, at least there's no Titans to bet on.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. Why am I? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm going to go Panthers, Canes. For some reason, I think as demoralizing as it must be for the Canes to go through all that and game one at home and then lose, I think they're going to summon. They have to have the desperation to win game two, and I think they're going to win game two. So give me the Canes on the puck line.
Okay, going with the Canes in game two against the Panthers. I'm going to go with the New York Yankees today, -1.5 against the Cincinnati Reds. It's the Reds, and it's the Yankees, and I don't trust the Reds. So I'm going the Yankees -1.5 and for them to hit a lot of home runs. So we'll go Yankees -1.5. Joe Rexroth, your second individual selection.
Yeah, I mean, I basically don't care anymore. what's the over-under on Heat-Celtics?
215.5. Wow.
Jinx, you owe me an iced coffee.
I'm going. Give me the under.
Well, I guess I'll just go ahead and make the same pick because I was doing that before he took it too. Heat and Celtics under 215.5 tonight. I don't think Miami's going to have it offensively tonight, but we'll see. Michelle Knezovic, your second individual
selection. Okay, well, the reason we both said the number at the same time is because I am also doing the under, but I am making it my lock. I'm making that my lock, under 215.5. We all know from Call Your Shot Friday, I need Jimmy Butler to have a big game and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown not to. So 215.5, under.
215.5, under. So everybody taking the under tonight between the Heat and
so the
Celtics.
Over will hit.
Final score will be 170-167. Looking forward to it. Joe Rexroth, your final individual selection.
Well, first of all, I forgot about the lock. I don't care. I don't even want to do locks anymore either because I suck. But make the Canes my lock, please.
Okay.
Put me down for the Canes. What's the over-under on Lakers Nuggets?
223.5.
There you go.
I'll go under on that, too.
Under for the Lakers and the Nuggets, 223.5. Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to go to the MLB, a little baseball. The Kansas City Royals at the one and only Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
I'm going to take the Royals plus the 1.5, but I feel like I'm required to mention. I do still think the White Sox are going to win, and that will make this long drive today much more amusing and much more entertaining for me. So let's hope for that.
I'm sure there are dozens of people that are excited to watch the Royals and the White Sox take place today. Mm. Joe, are you one of those people?
Yes.
Battle Royale, baby. Well, I do enjoy watching the White Sox lose, and there's been a whole lot of that this year.
There has been a whole lot of that. I'm going to take it a step further on Carolina, Florida. Give me the Canes -1.5. I think they win big. I think the Canes are winning big coming up in game two. They're very good defensively. I think they'll lock things down, and I think they'll be able to get to Bobrovsky a little bit more. I know they just had 60-some-odd shots on goal against them in four overtimes, but I think they will break through more in this game. So I'll go the Canes. And I'll just say the final score is 4-1, but I'll take the -1.5 in that matchup as well. Joe, your thoughts on your picks?
They suck, but I'm surprised then that's not your lock, you know? I mean, you made a compelling case for the Canes. What's your lock?
Nuggets plus the 5.5.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I can't change it now, but you're kind of talking me into maybe I should have made it Carolina.
No, keep that your lock. I was going to do it, but I didn't do it my lock because you did it first.
Okay. All right. We'll see. A lot of over-unders this week in the competition. I like it.
I've said this before, but in the previous iteration of the morning show, I used to absolutely love whatever picks they did, and like D-Mace would only do over-unders like during football season. It was fantastic, man.
We're going over-under, so baby. Hey, you got a 50-50 shot. You got a 50-50 shot, technically, I guess, on most bets, but whatever.
Yeah, in theory, that's what it's supposed to be.
That's what it's supposed to be. Doesn't always work out that way. 615-737-1025
Vegas
is our
knows.
Phone number.
Vegas knows.
615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans, anything on the table on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Gary on the text line says, I was really hoping Joe would take the over in the Milwaukee Admirals game. Feels like a big missed opportunity from you, Joe.
Duh.
No, I totally blew it. Actually, can I change? Is there a line on the Admirals and the Texas minor league Cow Pies or whatever the hell they're playing?
They're the Stars, but yeah.
Whoopie Pies.
You say Whoopie Pies?
Sure.
Yeah.
What, is there a line?
I could see if I could find one for you real quick.
All right. I don't need the line. Give me the Cow Pies. Make it my lock. You can take out my lock.
Thank you.
Want that as my lock. Thank you.
The Cow Pies.
Thank you, Gary. Well, I will tell you that 1 year in Gus Macker. We've talked about Gus Macker on the show, right?
Yeah.
For those of you out there who celebrate and play, salute to you. Yes, I played with some buddies from Climax, Michigan. We haven't talked about Climax, Michigan on this show much. We were the Climax Cow Pies.
I got a line for you. Milwaukee Admirals favored by a goal and a half against the Texas Stars. -112 on the money line, over under at 6 on the dot between the Admirals and the Stars. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, give me the goal and a half. Make it my lock. I'll take the goal and a half.
Thank you.
Guaranteed.
Just in case the Admirals shock the world and thrill the entire city of Nashville with a playoff victory.
I would just like to see more hate directed your way today than Stillman. That's all I'm asking for today. Just even it out a little bit. Get after Rex Road.
I agree. I think people are a little too mean to Jared and a little too nice to me.
Todd from Jacksonville.
I'm a big boy.
Todd from Jacksonville on Twitter has attached a photo of Andre the Giant and says, this is how I feel about the Titans. And it's a quote from Andre the Giant discussing Hulk Hogan. Quote, I don't like to speak badly of people. I've grown up thinking and being told that if you can't say something nice about someone, you shouldn't say it at all. But I must break that rule in this case because I hate Hulk Hogan very much. He's a big, ugly goon, and I want to squash his face. That's how Todd from Jacksonville feels about the Tennessee Titans. That rivalry has been reborn, baby.
That's outstanding. It's good to hear from Todd, by the way. I imagine we'll hear a lot from him this next year. Todd, who's more unrealistic about their team's greatness, Todd or Indy Ben?
Well, Indy Ben.
Indy Ben for sure. Todd had the all-time take of – after a week one victory by Gardner Minshew over Philip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts a few years ago. Who needs Trevor Lawrence? Got Gardner Minshew, baby.
Don't you think that sort of gives him a shot against Indy Ben? I feel like it does. Ben's more consistently
for sure.
Off the grid.
But. Todd's had one bad take.
Okay.
Indy Ben keeps him coming.
He keeps him coming. But we enjoy both of them on the program here.
We do.
It's gonna be look. We talked about it with Jared. Maybe there's a chance that final game of the year between the Titans and the Jags is the same thing it was last year, and it decides the division. If you're a Titans fan, wouldn't you sign up for that right now?
Oh,
I would.
My gosh, yes. Talking about one game at home?
Yeah.
To get a home playoff game? Oh, you absolutely sign up for that. Because right now I've got Jags 11-6, Titans 9-8, and I think most people who cover the NFL would – well, I don't know about the Jags. They would definitely think that Titans pick is optimistic. And I'm sure Jared has them going 14-3, but
he did say he has 11 wins. He was looking at 11 wins, and he was ashamed to admit it.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Keith, on the text line, who just says, "Screw you, Rex." That's what I'm asking for. Let's go. Bring some of that hate that you guys all send toward Jared, send it my way.
I will say, we need to check out Twitter right now. Greg with an amazing graphic of you and Jared on WHMR The Homer.
Yes.
With an Admirals and Vanderbilt graphic next to your heads.
Nice. Nice, Greg. Yeah, I mean, well, you guys tell me. If you did a 3 or 4 hour show every day with Jared, how long would you retain your sanity?
3 days.
What's the over under on sanity retention? 3 days?
3 days.
So, okay, like 2.5, we'll set it at 2.5, 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yours is for sure under. Like, I think yours would be gone by hour two.
Yeah, like, it'd be fun, kind of, to be like, because there are times if you listen, I want to be there at times to be like, dude. Well, hold on. Well, what did you just say? You know, like, I would like that power. But, yeah, to actually – and then the mic hogging he does. Oh, Michelle, what's your answer?
Honestly, I think one of my secret talents is being able to listen or have a conversation with somebody. But if I don't agree –
who makes no sense?
If I don't agree or something is just going really off the rails, I think I can just do a good job of not letting it get me mad. And I know that, Joe, that's something that – You let him affect your emotions.
You do.
And that's where it's like, you know, when you're picking on a younger sibling or something, you know what can get under their skin and you know what can get them mad. But if you don't show a reaction, I think that that's one of my good skills. Like, my brother would used to point his head towards my forehead and be like, I'm not touching you. I wouldn't let it bother me for hours. So I actually think I'd be okay.
So in an unlimited amount of time for Michelle. To do a show with
well, that is with that's a unlimited is aggressive, but I
what
think
I'm
I could
hearing,
do a week.
What I'm hearing here is Michelle campaigning to be on a show with Jared.
Yeah, that is
too.
Not what's
that,
happening.
Right? Yeah. Sorry, Chase.
You're out, Chase.
I'm here for it.
I mean,
too. Look, if we can't have Stilly and Polly, Stilly and Michelle Perry could also still be could also be very good. Shane in the Borough used to like me and doesn't anymore because of my Admirals take two. That's fine.
I'm just saying, you two have made a lot of people mad. So we talked about Hines earlier. Like, we're getting close, Joe, right? I mean, it's May the 19th, and we're a few weeks away from June by my Hendersonville High School math there, and that's what month the draft is in. So, like, you probably need to have some of this stuff figured out if you're Barry Trotz or some of these other jobs that are open around the league. Like, I would imagine – we're getting pretty close to coaching movement in the NHL starting to take place. So I feel like we're close to a decision, an announcement, something, one way or the other on the Predators front pretty soon.
Like I said, 6 minutes, press release. As soon as the show ends, make sure that we can't speak about it on the program. It'll come out. No, you're right. You know, I mean, seriously, today, soon, very soon. You have to make a call. It's you know, it's fair to them, and yeah, look, I'm with you. I mean, you're down to 1585 on Hines back. I mean, as time goes on, it's like, what are you saying here? I do think the idea of possibly having a candidate in mind and Hall and Hines in his last year as a fallback is an option. May not make you feel great if you're Hines, but same time, if you're Hines, you're trying to stay in the league.
Yep.
I mean, that's where he is right now in his career. So you take it if that's what happens.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated to see what that looks like. And, you know, obviously we've talked about Carberry a lot as a target. And we brought it up. Friedman tweeted last night that Anaheim, Washington, and the New York Rangers are believed to have requested permission to speak with him. Nothing about the Predators on that front. So, like, if Barry Trotz does have somebody in mind, and it's not Spencer Carberry, who is it at that point? And is that within the organization or is that outside of the organization? I don't know.
It's a great question. You know, certainly the Carberry connection is an obvious one. And props to Vingan for, you know, calling that out first from anybody I saw. You know, but I think Carberry clearly is a guy of high interest. If you're someone like him, and you're looking at the Preds, you probably do like the idea. I would imagine. I mean, everybody likes Barry Trotz. So the idea of working for Barry Trotz is probably appealing. Nashville is appealing. this team roster situation, how appealing is that relative to some of the other opportunities he may have?
By the way, something else to keep an eye on the coaching search front here. And when I hear this piece of news come across and I see the name of it, I immediately start to think New York Rangers, but I could be wrong. And Darren Dreger just put this out there. Sources say NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman will meet with veteran coach Joel Quenneville as soon as the season ends to review his status. Now, that's a heck of a risk there. Like, if let's say if you're the Rangers or anybody else, you want Joel Quenneville to be your coach. Well, the season ending is June after the Cup Final's over. So, like, you're talking about the Cup Final being over, the draft coming, and free agency all within like a 2-week span. My guess is you're probably not waiting on that when you don't know that. Like, Gary Bettman may walk away from that from Joel Quenneville and be like, yeah, he's not coaching next year. So it feels like the Quenneville part of this may be out if you're one of those other teams with an opening right now.
Yeah, good call. Real quick on the text line, do all the people that talk bleep about Jared realize he's the top dog at 102.5? Annoying or not, he's the number one guy on the station.
Oh, boy.
Which Jared relative just texted that? Just admit it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is that actually
how many burners he got?
I'm gonna put this number in my phone. Just put down Jared Burner.
Good. Got a lot of those in your phone so far.
He's got a lot of burners, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Joe Adam Vingan gonna be with you all week next week. I am heading to the beach next week, so looking forward to that.
Nice.
But Vingan gonna be in, so looking forward to that.
Rex Road Vingan, we'll get into, and I promise you, we will make fun of Duke basketball next
yes.
week.
Yes, thank you very
Yay.
Much. That does it for us today on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.